Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we talked during the break and we made the decision to bring Alexandra back for another hour here because I felt we left too much on the wall. And we're going to more bullet point things this particular segment because we want to cover as much material as we can. And I got to tell you, this stuff's giving me bad dreams, and maybe I'll talk about that another time. But we'll get into this in just a minute with Alexander. First, I need to let you know that in this particular segment, we're brought to you by Noble Gold, the very best in storable gold in terms of converting your soon-to-be worthless cash, money you will not get out of the bank when the crash happens, into precious metals, namely gold, that'll hold its value. There's 6,000 years of history on your side. How do you get a hold of Noble Gold? Give them a call, 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Or the link will be in the description box following this broadcast. Also, we're brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools. We can help you with the food. Restaurant quality, 70% off. FEMA and DHS are both telling you need 6 months. What are we waiting for? Go to preparewithdave.com. And we're also brought to you by one of my favorite guys, Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, King Prepper. Everything you want, water filtration to night vision. He finances the high-end things, and he will consult with you for free. That's right. People don't do that in this business. He does. Go to readymaderesources.com. Look at what they have and the numbers on the screen. You can call Bob, tell him I told you to call, and you'll get the royal treatment. Well, those are the sponsors that make this particular segment possible. And Alexandra, thank you for holding over through the break. And I do think we had a lot of unfinished business, but I'd like to go back to some of these unsavory associations. So I'm going to let you pick it up where you'd like.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave. We do have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to dive right in. Just kind of glossing over some of what we did talk about, the fact that Kamala's contempt for voters and the law, our office did all this wiretapping illegally, and hundreds of people were under this veil of a locked document, and nobody seems to know who or what, to this day, what it was she was wiretapping. The fact that she co-sponsors bills for illegals to work in Congress as staff and interns and has supplied and supported the single-pay health care plan, or the fact that she wants to throw parents in jail for kids for truancy. I mean, the list goes on and on. Her attorney, as attorney general, she was busted for bribes, and her DOJ paid out more than $1 million in sexual harassment and retaliation claims. So, I mean, it's this clear pattern of what it is she's doing. We know she's against ICE. She's protecting the illegals from deportation, prosecution, death penalty. I mean, my gosh, Dave, she submitted a brief supporting an illegal's application for a law license. So she has this history. And one of the most appalling things in telling was when this case came out in New York, and I'm sure you'll remember it, when this, I forget who it was that got killed, but one of the guys that was caught was an MS-13 member. And her actual comment was, not only was she still against ICE and standing against this whole issue, her comment was, we need to be protecting illegals and their communities. I'm sorry, their communities? What about us? So this is the kind of woman that we're dealing with. Now we're going to put on our the hip boots and get into the swamp. Ms. Harris was blasted by Latinos not long ago for refusing to investigate a Ponzi scheme. Guess who it was run by, Dave? Heather Podesta.
Oh, my. Why am I
and
not surprised?
And we're talking the Heather Podesta, who was married to Tony Podesta. And then Harris was accepting brides as donations. This scheme was orchestrated by Herbalife, yes, Herbalife, lobbyist Heather Podesta. So let's just jump right into that. She's not the only Harris sister with a Podesta connection. All the hype and all the hoopla and the cover-up, nothing to see here. You remember the Podesta Pizzagate emails, right?
Mm-hmm, very well.
Well, Maya Harris is Kamala's sister. She's in at least two of them. We'll get to her for a real quick thing so you can get a brief overview of her, because I'm sure you've all seen and heard about her. People have seen her as a TV commentator and political analyst for MSNBC. When she was going through school, she was also an executive director at ACLU in Northern California. She's been with the VP for Democracy, the Rights and Justice at the Ford Foundation from 2008 until her current positions. She was also at the Center for American Progress. And for anybody who doesn't know who that was a John Podesta-founded foundation, and she worked with him. Then she became one of three appointed senior policy advisors to Hillary. Maya, in the two infamous Podesta emails, was the first one was from Tony to John, stating that he was hosting a pizza party for HFA on April 10th. Maya Harris is joining, but need you, can you come? Thanks so much, Tony. So she's named directly. The second one was an email excerpt, and I did send you both links for both flyers that were printed out. Washington, D.C., Pizza for Hillary with John Podesta, campaign chair, and Maya Harris, senior policy advisor, and special guest chef, James Alifonis of Comet Ping Pong.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have this lovely tie into both of these people. So both sisters are involved with the Podesta brothers, and we know what other kinds of things that they're involved with. So we can only imagine where that is going. Now, keep in mind that Maya is married to Tony West, and Tony West is an interesting character in and of himself because he is currently the general counsel of Uber. His prior work was executive VP of government affairs, general counsel, and corporate secretary for PepsiCo, and he also served as president of the PepsiCo Foundation. But he previously served as the associate AG of the U.S., the third highest ranking official in the DOJ, and the assistant AG of the Civil Division, which is the largest litigating division of the DOJ. Well, that leaves one other player on the board before we tie him in to one other name, and that would be her husband, Doug Emhoff. Mr. Emhoff used to work as a West Coast director at Venable LLP. Well, that was a legal firm whose clients include people like Microsoft, ExxonMobil, Playboy, Apple, Verizon, all these trade associations that lobby Congress against internet regulations. Google's parent company, Alphabet, paid Venable $80,000 to lobby lawmakers on its behalf. So they're really tight with a lot of these contracts coming and going, both in the media, technology, and several other little places. Well, back in 2017, Mr. Emhoff went to Washington, D.C., and he actually passed the bar and was sworn in March of the same year. So now he can practice in D.C. as well. Considering he was based out here, sounds like they have future plans? I'm guessing so. 2017, he was also picked up by DLA Piper. Well, this is another media company. He was brought in as a partner. It's in Century City and Washington, D.C. They cover media, entertainment, digital, sports, advertising, technology, hospitality, character licensing. So now this kind of paints a picture of things that they're doing. So this leads us to our next main lead character. People have probably started hearing about him because he's kind of been in the shadows. I hadn't heard him really much of anything of him up until this. Now we come to a gentleman named Jim Steyer. Are you familiar with the name?
Yeah, I know the name.
Well, Jim is also in the Podesta emails. He is the same Jim Steyer who was asking John Podesta about walnut sauce. So I went to kind of look him up because I thought, creepy. Well, so then I was curious who he was because I couldn't quite place him. Well, he's Tom Steyer's brother, the billionaire who keeps trying to impeach Trump and do all these other things. And I did a little more digging, and just a quick glimpse into it. Jim and Tom's father is Roy Henry Steyer, who worked at Sullivan and Cromwell, and that was a law firm. And Roy Henry Steyer was a prosecutor in the OSS Nuremberg Tribunal. Further back, it ties to, you'll love these names, Alan and John Foster Dulles, who used their law firm partners to collaborate with. So that goes all the, these ties go all the way back. So we'll come back to Jim, and he's, everybody pretty much knows him at this point for the Common Sense Media, an organization that he was dedicating towards the media and entertainment lives, but specifically more towards children and family type things. His early work. Well, this creates some other interesting forums about him. He graduated from Stanford, and 2 years after that, he went to Asia. And then he came back and graduated from Stanford Law and graduated in 83. Now, this is important because right after he graduated, he became a law clerk for the California Supreme Court Justice Alan Broussard. Then he served on as a civil rights attorney for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And then he went on to start teaching at Stanford University for 28 years. This is kind of important because some of his former students, your listeners and you will definitely recognize. His students include Senator Cory Booker. National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and Chelsea Clinton, who he raved was a star student, and that he hired her as a teaching assistant and research aide. So he's got real tight ties to Hillary as well. There's a mention also that, I'm not sure of the year, but he did write a book called Talking Back to Facebook, The Common Sense Guide to Raising Kids in the Digital Age. Chelsea Clinton wrote the foreword to the book. So it's, you know, so while this looks good on paper, you really have to wonder what is going on. And then I sent you the link about that bill that is coming up, and we're going to touch on that with this next little part of it. The other thing that Steyer founded was an advocacy venture called Children Now in 1988, and it was one of the main lobbying groups to work on educational children's programming. And I'm not saying they haven't done some good things, but here's a red flag if I ever saw one. This group became well known for publishing report cards on California's kids. It also helped shed light on important statistics. Well, please tell me what a media technology group has to do with linking California children that lacked health insurance and half were immunized. Why does a media company need to know this or keep track of it? That would be the question of the day.
Because their biggest advertisers are Big Pharma. That's why.
And they take it a step further. That bill, he worked on with Hillary, and they want not only pushing the vaccines, and you're absolutely right, and pushing the drugs and the rest of this. These are the ones they want people coming into your homes to vaccinate the kids. Mm-hmm. And they're going to decide whether or not you're a good parent, whether you're a bad parent, or whether you get to even keep your kids. It is just the most insane part of it. But let's keep going, because that would be like another hour discussion. He also started JP Kids in 1996. Interestingly enough, that aired on the Disney Channel, so he has ties in between that whole Disney platform and the rest of it. He also helped build the Center for the Next Generation, which debates on are focused on national children's and energy issues. So here we go with pushing the Green Deal. The one that he worked on with Hillary Clinton would be the Too Small to Fail initiative, and I'm sure you're more than familiar with that.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of, there was the other tie-in here, and I believe her name was Liz Pearl, and she, I'm sorry, was hooked up with Steyer and running through this advocacy group for media partners. They were looking at content distributed to over 90 million U.S. homes. They made partnerships with Comcast, Time Warner, DirecTV, NBC, Netflix, Best Buy, Google, Yahoo, AOL, Huffington Post, Fandango, Trend Micro, Verizon, Nickelodeon, and more. So these guys are, you know, writing their own ticket about what's going to be going on with these kids. The impact of that, and backing Kamala Harris, just kind of catapults a whole different platform and makes you wonder a number of different kinds of ties, because Jim turned out to be a member of Harris's San Francisco DA transaction team. So that's an awful lot of input into one person that could help navigate her into going into these waters. So I know I kind of overloaded you. Do you have any questions before I...
No, I'm following this perfectly, and you've laid out a criminal empire stemming out of Pizzagate connected to Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and friends.
Yes. And the tie-in between Maya and where she's gone with John and I shudder to think about what has been said behind closed doors and what is going on. I've seen, as I said, I was not aware who Jim Steyer was until this came up, and the fact I wouldn't have even known until I had started looking into Kamala and her very corrupt past. So I question the format and where this would go with him at the helm of her transition team, because it is my understanding from information that I have got back, and not surprisingly, that she has the same personality as Hillary, and that it has come back that her team has had a very difficult time because she is not coming across as likable.
Well, that's perfectly good news, because that slows down what they do. But the bottom line is, with all this, is that you've got a criminal empire that's existing, and is it a business as usual arrangement? In other words, drugs, sex, gun running, is this primarily what we're looking at in this criminal enterprise?
I would say absolutely yes. I mean, clearly from her record in Alameda and San Francisco and that whole Bay Area, when you consider that those have massive amounts of problems of prostitution and the pedophilia and the rest of it, and it's been rampant for decades. And then she comes out and says, you know, oh, she did go after cases for the sex trafficking and the prostitution. Well, here's an interesting thing. Suddenly, she became for prostitution because it was consensual. Well, that's kind of an open-ended statement when you think about it, because we have people like Ginsburg. We have this whole left agenda of not only trying to lower the consent age. Now you have the pushing of the kids as child brides. You have this, you have that. So if you're calling it prostitution, are you going to whitewash what the sex trafficking is and start calling that prostitution? There's no limit as to what could possibly be going on. You have the illegals coming in. You have the gun smuggling. You have the drugs, and nobody's stopping it. They know about it. They participate in it, and they cover it up. And we've been seeing a traffic of that. I mean, look at Hillary with Benghazi, and look at some of these other Fast and Furious. Look at what has been happening, and I have a feeling that this is going to continue with what we've been seeing with MS-13, with the gangs that have been coming in, ones that you have mentioned. You know, you've got the Sinaloa cartel, you've got La Raza, and then for Harris to actually make that statement about illegals.
Hello, are you there? Well, I'm assuming I'm still on here. Let me check the settings. We seem to have lost our connection here with Alexandra.
Hello?
Yeah, we got cut off. We're still recording. Are you surprised?
Oh, no.
You want to hear something funny? Okay.
Yes.
This is the revelation from my side of the mic. I'm sitting here, and I go to my indicators, my stats, to tell me if this is recording. And it is. And I'm reading it right now. Has the file size, the time, and everything. You went away. You got redialed. But I didn't do the redialing. I'm not joking. I was getting ready to disconnect, and this is a pre-record, so we could have spliced this together, and I probably would have given an explanation, because the discontinuity here is pretty obvious when all of a sudden, are you there? And you're not. So I'm getting ready to, I'm pulling out your phone number, and all of a sudden I hear ring, ring. And there you are. So you got redialed by God knows who.
Well, let's say hello to our other listening friends, shall we?
Yeah, well, I think what they're saying here is, hey, we're just letting you know we're here and we're hearing everything you're saying. And that's what I think this is all about. Where did, you know, because our time is so short with this volume of incriminating data for Harris. Where did we leave off before this little faux pas?
Well, we were talking about drugs, gun running, and sex scandals. Would they continue? And my answer to that is yes.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I turn around, the stories on her just seem to continue. It's almost like watching a mini Hillary.
Let me take you off task for a minute, okay? Because I like what we're doing this hour more, because it's more sequential, because I'm not saying what about this and what about that. And this is why I've remained relatively silent. But there is something I want to throw in here at this point, given what you have mentioned. Tell me about Leland Yee's connection to Harris. Have you been able to establish anything? And let me just remind people from last hour, Leland Yee went to prison for trying to sell guns from Benghazi, and everybody thinks, and it's more than thinking, I believe, that the Clinton Foundation facilitated this deal, and they were a middleman and got profit. He got caught. Him and Shrimp Boy Chow go to prison. I know that there are stories out there about Leland Yee and Harris. What do you have on that? Anything?
Well, interestingly enough, I did start looking into Yee and Harris, and my computer went a little bit fuzzy. However, I did find one on Leland Yee and James Steyer. And back in 2011, they had a lawsuit going regarding the First Amendment. And basically, it had to do with these video games and the media platform. Again, really what we're looking at. And they were very upset that the Supreme Court struck down and whatever the outcome of the case was, and it was called Brown versus EMA, and there's a summary, but I didn't get a chance to look at it. And basically, it came down to Yee made the comment about, unfortunately, the majority of the Supreme Court once again put the interests of corporate America before the interests of our children. Well, that started kind of raising a red flag for me anyway, because, you know, that's always the guise that they put it on before they're going after something. So, and, of course, Mr. Steyer was involved in that, and he found the decision to be disappointing. So their comment had to do with a multi-billion dollar video game industry. They were talking about the profits being protected, but we'll continue to fight for the best interest of kids and family. But it just doesn't really smell right to me. The more that when you look into someone like Mr. Yee and everything else, I really question this, and it looks like a glossing over for a backdoor to taking away the First Amendment against us as quickly as possible, because they can't seem to do it in a forthright fashion. I am still looking into a direct connection, more than just with Steyer, because I do believe that there is a tighter connection, knowing that Mr. Yee has infiltrated a number of people and incidents that you have already named as well. I'm not sure where to go with that, other than I know that there is a lot.
Well, let me connect a dot for you here. Let's go to Benghazi. And this is something that I did not cover in detail when I broke the story about Benghazi, because my focus was on the coup that was happening with General Hamm and Admiral Guyette before the CIA interrupted it. They were going to rescue Stevens. Now, he was CIA, and he was in charge of the gun running there in Libya. Excuse me. And as a consequence, he would have had all his guns here. His bodyguard contingent was there. They were in charge of this whole thing. Now, they're murdered by terrorists. And what we need to ask ourselves is this, is how the hell do these guns go from Benghazi and get into the hands of Leland Yee? Because that's what he goes to prison for. And here's where the courts never went, and they should have, because they didn't want to implicate Hillary. We know from the sources that helped me break this story that the Clinton Foundation was the middleman recipient of the gun deal that put the guns in Leland Yee's hands. So here's what you have to assume. No one's there to take possession of the guns. Certainly not Leland Yee. He didn't have an organization. So it had to be the terrorists who killed Stevens and his contingent. They get the guns. They do a deal with the Clinton Foundation. The guns are transferred to Leland Yee, but he gets busted by the ATF and the FBI, and he goes to prison. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Well, this is something I've known since 2012. Excuse me. I was given this story by an ex-Arsoff guy. And he referred me to two other people who had even more information. I broke the story of the coup where Admiral Guyette, who was in charge of Carrier Task Force 3, they said, we're not going to let this ambassador get murdered. To hell with Panetta, to hell with Obama. And this was the time, too, when Obama was firing generals and admirals left and right, and the military wanted to get him. And they saw this as a coup of opportunity. If they rescue Stevens and know that he had been set up to be murdered, he would sing like a canary about the Obama connection to gun running with terrorists in Libya. And so this was a good old-fashioned coup of opportunity. I asked one of my sources, I said, why don't you just do a regular coup? He said the people wouldn't support it. Now, this was 2012. I think by 2016 they might have supported it, and he said it was a coup that just presented itself, and they couldn't back away from it. Stevens knew nothing about what was coming, except twice he asked Hillary, because he knew that terrorists were onto his gun running. He asked Hillary to increase the size of his bodyguard. He wanted 30 Marines. And she said, we can't because of budget concerns. So here's a guy, you know, the administration, Obama, he doubles the national debt. They can't afford 30 Marines for an ambassador.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the man was set up. And so here comes Leland Yee. And this is why I wanted to bring this back to Harris, because, see, if we connect her to Leland Yee in any fashion, then we have her connected to international gun running, political assassination. She's caught up in this whole genre. I'm not saying she pulled the trigger. I'm not saying she even planned it. What I'm saying is she's part of organizations that are involved in this, and she's a lot more than a little two-bit California criminal, if you follow what I'm saying.
Oh, I absolutely do. And that would go under not only just being complicit, but possible RICO, along with many other attachments, depending
RICO's
on
right
her
in line
involvement.
With this. Yeah, it is right in line with this. But let's revisit the question. How close of a connection do you get with Leland Yee and Harris? I've got one. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Well, the one step away, it's kind of like dealing with that whole, what Hollywood used to do with Kevin Bacon's.
Yeah, 6 degrees of separation. Yeah, implausible
deniability.
One. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the one. So far, the closest one I've got, there's a connection that I've been working on that actually was through Colorado, but I haven't been able to research it quite enough just yet. But the one step away is definitely Steyer. Because if he was sitting there, if he was that tight in, and they're all in Hillary's camp, and Steyer was also, he and Tom were both huge, made huge donations, not only to the Clinton campaign, but the Clinton Foundation.
Okay, so
we have
Harris on one side of the Clinton Foundation. When she brought her to the, Hillary brought Harris to the Hamptons to introduce her to her donators, so to speak.
Yes, in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in fact, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Leland Yee and Shrimp Boy Chow were active in Harris's jurisdiction. That's one thing I'm sure of. This is a connection that we've got to make. And I'm saying this because the public is kind of getting an idea now of how these investigations unfold. But see, here's what we have. We have a presidential candidate with a very suspicious background, criminal connections, covers up sex trafficking, gun running, and drug convictions in her own jurisdiction, violates Freedom of Information Act and open records laws, and is obstructing justice.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
And this is what we have her for domestically. But she's connected to Steyer, who's connected to Hillary and Benghazi. And then we've got Leland Yee, who was an associate of Harris. In that, he helped arrange some campaign financing for her for the AG run in 2011. So we have some connections. We need more. But I think she's part of an international cabal that's connected to the Clinton Foundation. See, a lot of people think the Clinton Foundation, standalone organization. No, you have to think of them as a corporation. They have subsidiary holdings. The Clintons own Company 1, and Company 1 owns Company 2, and Company 2 owns Company 3. But at the top of that whole hierarchy is the Clinton Foundation, and they control the whole thing. And I maintain, from what we're finding, that Harris is under the umbrella of the Clinton Foundation. And really, the really good evidence for that is, why would Hillary bring her to the Hamptons to help her with financing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought I had the other one, but it ought to be, it's interesting, because one of the things she did, was when she was on this campaign trail in 2015, she reportedly spent about $18,000 for her overnights at the St. Regis in Washington, D.C., the Waldorf Astoria in New York, the Four Seasons in Boston, the West Hotel in L.A., which is kind of weird, being that she was supposedly campaigning in California. So what was she doing flying first class and chauffeured around through the inner cities in limousines.
What was the year for
and
this?
2015.
Too soon for the presidency.
And then in 2016, the Harris campaign paid $85,000 to the National Democratic Party's go-to law firm, Perkins Coal. And the clients, of course, include Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and social media. But there was something... Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you about that particular thing. Because the article had to do with the Silicon Valley owner. Well, that kind of remains to be seen. But back in, also in 2016, it says, here's where we find a crack in her narrative because of her explanations of things. Winning its way through a Senate is a bipartisan bill to criminalize enablers of Internet child sex trafficking. Proposed by Ohio Republican Rob Portman in early August, it has garnered 35 co-sponsors. Harris wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that had to do with Backpage, and it was a target. So here we've got all these sex traffickers. We've got people trying to stop it. And here we go again. She's circumventing or not supporting or saying she will, but she doesn't. So what are you involved with? And then if you tie her into the whole Jesse Smollett thing, which one has to wonder because we know that he was around that, and I think I briefly mentioned to you that I had heard, I believe it was Liz Crokin that brought it up, that, and I cannot remember the FBI's agent name, but he went directly to Smollett when the case was supposedly dismissed. This FBI agent only works on sex trafficking cases. Why is he getting involved with Smollett? Who was Smollett attached to? Well, you've got all the Hollywood pedophilia, but what, you know, you've got Kamala Harris. And then you have that other attorney that was on the other side, that was defending the Nigerians until they decided not to say anything. And then
oh,
she dropped the case.
Yes.
And her
Gloria,
husband,
Gloria Rodriguez, using a pseudonym. I say it's a pseudonym. She married Jorge Rodriguez.
Yes.
The ex-husband of Monica Wesolowski of the State Department, who has been on our show a number of times, and Small, Small World. And they are representing the Nigerians.
Yes.
And you know, here's what's interesting. It's a high-profile case, and yet this is a nickel-and-dime law firm that does jaywalking and traffic offenses and stuff like this. And they have, you found this too, I believe you found, if I'm not mistaken, a string of misconduct slap on the wrist from the Bar Association.
Yes.
Was that right?
You
found that, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And here they are representing Jesse Smollett's accomplices, the Nigerians. I can't remember the name that Gloria was using.
It was Rodriguez, I believe.
Well, that's her married name now. Mendoza was, I believe, her maiden name. And so it's Gloria Mendoza Rodriguez, but there was a name attached to their, I think it was Hastings. I have to look it up. But I'm thinking, where'd this come from?
She, that was the curious part, and I do remember, yes, I did look into that a little bit, and she... my curiosity was piqued because her whole background had nothing to do with criminal law. It was real estate.
Yeah, nickel and dime stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and same with the husband or the ex-husband, whichever one it was. And then I found the interesting thing about his tie to the whole Catholic thing.
Oh, tell me about that. Tell me about that.
Because he was either on a board. I'm going to have to look this up. It's been a while since you and I have chatted about this, but he was on. It had to do with him being involved in the Roman Catholic Church and some of the other dioceses and his connections into that. And so it made me start to think about, well, perhaps there's more to him then meets the eye, and maybe if we're talking about this backdoor stuff, now that I take a better look at and the child pedophilia, are you still there, Dave?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, my phone cut out.
They haven't got to us again, yeah. Uh-huh.
my phone cut out. It's still beeping. I don't know if you can still hear me or not.
I can hear you just fine. I'll let you know.
Okay. But between his sanctions, I probably shouldn't have opened that can of worms because it's going to take me a second. But he did have connections to the Catholic Church, and I believe he was on some sort of a board.
I didn't know this. Let me share you with what I know about him. I know for a fact he's from Peru. I know he's the son of someone who's a prominent accountant. And Peru, as a nation, now he may have nothing to do with this. I have no idea. But when you talk Peru, the whole Peruvian army is the Sanchez Paredes drug cartel that, in the last decade, brought together groups like the Sinaloas and the other drug cartels with Middle Eastern terrorist groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas. This has been all through our media. This started being published like in the Tucson Daily Star in 2006.
Oh, my gosh.
That's from that country. That's the whole Peruvian army. And the Peruvian bank is involved, and they facilitate these thugs, and their training is paramilitary groups. This is why I've written Red Dawn articles on this. And they train in El Salvador, and my friend Kathy Rubio, who's been on the show a lot, has been to these camps.
Oh, and my gosh.
People that work there. We've gotten eyewitness accounts from Kathy. And I've been able to confirm a lot of what she said with third-party sources. I don't know if he's part of that genre. I have no idea. But, my God, how did they end up? How did a nickel-and-dime real estate jaywalking law firm end up defending the Nigerian brothers in the hottest case in America with Jussie Smollett? Doesn't that just make you scratch your head and wonder?
It absolutely does. And that is... I think that's why I started kind of looking into that. What did, let's see, she went by, Schmidt.
Schmidt, that's it, exactly right, Gloria Schmidt. And when she appeared on Fox News, that's how she self-identified. I don't know where the Schmidt name came from, and maybe there's nothing bad about it at all, nothing wrong or improper, but we've looked up her Bar Association record, okay, and I believe she's listed as Gloria Mendoza Rodriguez, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're correct on that.
She has an interesting background. By the way, this may mean nothing by itself, but I think it was you that told me this. She used to live in, of all places, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yes.
And I think it was you that brought me that info. And what's interesting about Fort Collins is they're at the heart of the deep state. They are absolutely the king and queen of Agenda 21. In fact, the UN calls Fort Collins the jewel of the Ickley Empire, referencing Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030. And this is where the Stacey Lynn case came in. And it just, you know, and people who followed me for a long time know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to go there right now in the interest of time. But these connections keep flowing. So how do you see Harris's connection with Jussie Smollett? I think this is interesting, too, because let me lay the groundwork for your answer, because you're going to answer a very serious question. Jussie Smollett's case, and I don't care what Kim Fox, that crooked assistant AG that dropped the charges, I don't care what she says, and she needs to go to prison. Jussie Smollett was guilty of sin. The Chicago police know she's guilty of sin. In fact, they have filed a claim against him to pay for the investigation. They're so pissed off about him being let go.
Yes.
When you look at Jussie Smollett, there's no question this was designed to provoke a race riot somewhere.
Absolutely.
Heightened tensions between blacks and whites and gays and straights, because he was a gay black man. And they were faking a hate crime. So can we tie Harris into this association with Smollett? How close do we get?
Well, you know, considering there's photos of them together, and then you see the photos of who the circle that Smollett runs with, and you've seen him with, especially with the Obamas, the question I would raise, and here again, it's one more thread that leads a question, is when you look at someone like Steyer and you look at someone like her husband, Emhoff, who work for these law firms that deal with all these entertainment people, and we know what is going on with that. We know about the pedophilia. We know about the sex crimes. We know about, you know, look at what just happened. God, where do we start? With Weinstein all the way down. And they kept talking about the Me Too, what was it, the Me Too movement or whatever it was, but they were glossing over the pedophile thing. But over and over and over, these things keep coming up. Do I think that Jussie Smollett was tied into that? Yeah, I absolutely do. If, and when you start looking at the people around him, I think there's a strong case for something that was either going on or he was brought into, or, you know, I...
The next place to look for Smollett, if this is really true, would be in Alameda County, or certainly the state of California, where Harris had cover-up capabilities as an attorney general or a district attorney. And I could see this plot being hatched there, and she provided air cover, much the way she did for the Jesuits and the Catholic priests that you identified in the last hour about sex trafficking and how she protected them. I think there's a real possibility there, and that's probably where we should focus next. But you see, with Harris, though, you know, I've been thinking about what was her enticement. She has a snowball's chance in hell of ever being elected. She can't defeat Trump. But I could see her getting out there with money, and maybe she becomes a Secretary of State if a Democrat wins. That's what I think her enticement is. And I'm speculating, but there's a reason why you'd put this woman out in front and promote her. And at the same time, she's got this criminal background of cover-ups. And what did they need with Smollett and all this other stuff? They needed a way to cover up and get plausible deniability. They weren't counting on getting busted.
Well, they never thought Hillary would lose either.
Yeah, this is when we look at this situation here, I think Harris is an epicenter focal point that connects a lot of crimes. That's how I'm beginning to see this.
Oh, I agree. And I do want to continue on with that, but I know we're running out of time, so I am going to send you some of the other documents that tie in, like her donors and some of the other people, and maybe we can pick something else up. But the other side of what you were saying is I do still think that because of who the attorneys were for the Nigerians and what they were – and the schools that these kids went to remind me an awful lot of things like the ones that Adam Schiff, that foundation he was associated with, where all this disgusting child things happened. This school that one of the Nigerians went to reminded me an awful lot of that, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was trafficking through there, because Smollett ended up having some sort of a longer relationship with these two. And then you've got the whole Mendoza thing and the husband and this tie to the Catholic Church. So I think it's almost like being under the McMartin preschool. There's an awful lot of tunnels.
Yeah, well, not only that, that's a good analogy. When you're looking at the Catholic Church connection here with Smollett and the people around him, like the lawyers, isn't it interesting that one of the places we started with Harris was her cover-up of Catholic clergy sexual misdeeds, sealing records
yep.
illegally. To me, see, she's the perfect person. You know, people were saying she was the aunt of Jussie Smollett. Do you have any evidence to support that or refute that?
I'm going to refute that because as far as... she's only got one sister. Her sister is...
Maya.
Maya, she was born in 64, I believe, 67, so around 3 years different. That's her only sibling. So unless she had some secret love child, to the best of my knowledge, Smollett is not her mm-hmm. direct link blood aunt. Now, I mean, maybe she's acted like an aunt. Maybe she is like family. Maybe there is, you know, a tight thing or something. But to the best of my knowledge, nobody's come forth with any hardcore evidence of a DNA connection to that. So, and I haven't found anything. I don't know that Maya had a child.
Yeah.
If she did,
we'll have to do
if
this.
If she did,
no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Maya has something else, though. A connection to the Ford Foundation, which is the Manchurian CIA psyops headquarters of the world.
Yes, it is.
And you have evidence she worked there.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? And what kind of techniques do they use on child victims of the sex trafficking rings? A lot of psyop stuff when they recycle them. In other
MK
words,
Ultra and usually the sex
exactly.
kitten stuff.
Yeah, you're one step ahead of me on that. You're exactly right. And that's where this ends up. Absolutely incredible stuff. Man, we're treading water in this quicksand right here because we're out of time. We're going to have to process this through the week because we're going to have, there's too many unanswered questions. But what we got, folks, is we got Harris in the last hour for criminal cover-up, obstruction, violation of public record laws, and now we've got affiliations with her into the high-level sex trafficking rings. Is it so much a case of guilt by association now? To a point, but I don't think it's going to stay there as we dig even deeper. And I don't think she's a presidential candidate in actuality. I think she's a candidate for a cabinet position, and they're using her position as senator now and used her as AG to cover up crimes. No question about it. Anyway, we're out of time. We have to scoot. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'll follow up on this in the week. Ladies and gentlemen, Alexander Daly with just great information with ends up being more questions than answers. And we'll see you back here again next time. Thank you.